Hey everybody, Fantasy Profits back for another show. And we have James and Eric. What's up, boys?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Well, I wanted to say that our first show, James, me and you, lasted 3 hours. Then last week, we did running backs and tight ends, and that lasted 3 hours. So I know this is more taboo, but I was working all week on ways for us to not last as long as men. And I know that's the opposite, but I figure there's some advantages because it's untapped territory. So there's no news this week. I don't care if anything, we're not talking about any news except for one thing, one question. My question is, when do you start really thinking about turning your roster over? I have my IDP leagues. I'm thinking about doing it right now because they're so big, so long, so deep, all those buzzwords. And I can't do anything, though. I can just drop players. I can't add anybody because of the draft and then waivers don't open. But do you start pruning the guys that you don't want off of your rosters right now, or do you wait? Eric, what do you do?
Yeah, I like trim anybody that I'm like, they're not probably going to be on an NFL roster next year right now. But if I think they might make the 53 man right now, I'll leave them. Even if I get to June or July and I have four players over what I need, I'll wait for like roster cut downs for guys to get cut just in case.
Okay. James, do you do any of that or you wait?
So I wait right now. So I made this mistake. I think when I first got into Dynasty, I was really quick to like trim my rosters down, and I found myself kind of regretting some of the moves I made in, you know, April, because injuries happen, different things happen, draft day trades happen, camp injuries, all that type of stuff. And then next thing you know, you got a guy who you thought was going to be the third string running back, a fourth string running back, all of a sudden is the number two. And so I really try and hold as long as I possibly can to get through that season. Because, I mean, some guys are definitely, I mean, I really want to cut Kadarius Toney, but like, I just freaking can't. Just, I got him in one more league and I wasn't able to get rid of him before the mighty fall of Kadarius, but I'll still hold on to him. And just, you never know. You just never know.
I went through, you know, you open up Sleeper and it'll have 82 notifications or 32. And I hope this is good stuff. And typically it's one guy who's just dropping guys. And you go, one, I can't put, like Tom Brady. Some guy just dropped Tom Brady. They've kept Tom Brady. Yeah, I know. Eric kept Tom Brady. And I'm sitting there going, oh, well, maybe I need to start cleaning things up and, you know, shucking some corn. And I look at one roster and had Kyle Trask, and I'm like, ugh, can I just dump? It would feel so good to get rid of all these just half-assed players that we've kept hoping that they're going to do something. And I just wondered. A lot of the guys are just dropping guys that should have been dropped a long time ago, and I just wanted to see what you guys do. Sometimes it's almost cathartic to drop guys on these rosters to just get them off of there. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I dropped them too, because I'm going to have, like, after the draft, I'm going to have like eight more players than my roster is available for. And so, honestly, I'm fine with having more than is available. And because I'll at some point do a 3-for-1, or I'll trade a guy for a future draft pick. And so that number will drop by the time the season comes. But like 8 or 9 or 10, I don't think I've ever dropped. I don't think I've ever gotten that down to zero before the season without dropping players. So then I'll just drop some guys.
I mean, the hope is that you trade. Right. That's the thought, is that we'll, you know, in our dynasty league, I had what, 25 players. And the joke was, well, we'll just wait. He'll have to drop them all, which was absolutely correct. But all I needed was one person to want something. And then a second person jumps in. Another person's like, uh-oh, somebody might want that person. Somebody's going to make a dumb offer. And Scott's not in his right mind. He's going to take it. And then that's what happens. So this week, we were going to just do wide receiver rankings. But I thought, you know what? Probably be a better idea if we just do a draft. And we've already talked about quarterbacks. We've already talked about running backs, tight ends. So we don't have to go over those. So we're going to do a four-round rookie mock, and we thought this will be a good opportunity that whenever a wide receiver is picked, we can discuss it kind of in the context of our rankings, but also in the context of where they're getting drafted. So my only rule that I want us to kind of follow to have a general idea with is if one of us takes Xavier Worthy, we're assuming that he's going to a good place. That's all. Right. Because I think we can all, you know, we've discussed this idea that if Drake May goes to the Vikings, right, with those weapons, that he might industry wise be right there with Caleb just because of the situation. And so I want us to just think, well, what if, you know, what if Drake May goes to the Patriots? What if, I don't want us to do that. I don't think that's helpful, especially if people are doing. I know there's probably people doing rookie drafts right now, or at least trading picks. And so I think it's just helpful if we have some idea that they're going to a decent possible spot. Is that fair?
Yeah, just average, kind of, not necessarily going to, we're not saying, okay, every single guy's going to Kansas City, of course, right?
Yeah.
But every, we're just saying if they went to a league average spot.
Every show I listen to where they're talking about these guys' draft spots is, well, what if Marvin Harrison goes to the Patriots instead of the Cardinals? Well, then we might as well not have the conversation, right? Because those are two totally separate, almost universes.
So you're just basing this draft basically 100% off of what we think based on our college film and what we think their overall maybe ceiling could be versus, you know what I mean, their personal ceiling versus like their situation.
Maybe right above floor.
Okay.
Like that. I think that's more helpful to people if we do it that way, because I've been listening to so many draft shows and they go, well, if Brandon Rice goes to this, like, well, he could literally go to any of the 32 teams. There are no not possible places he could get drafted. So that doesn't really help anybody with us discussing it. Whereas Marvin Harrison, I mean, if you start whittling it down, there's probably only three or four teams he could go to legitimately, given what the industry is talking about. So we can talk through it as it goes, but I want us to have more of a general discussion about maybe their floor / ceiling kind of in the middle. So we're going to start off with Eric. He gets the first pick in this draft.
Yep. And my first pick, I think now, and I believe in any case, is going to be Marvin Harrison in any draft. I think he's the only player right now in the draft where I think he's completely bust proof. I don't see any chance that he's not a good player out of all the players. I think there's room for any other player in this draft to bust.
So he's been on the scene. I mean, I've been watching him for 2 years already, and he was even as a late sophomore, junior. Everybody's like, I can't wait to get him. You know, he doesn't have the top end speed that maybe he didn't test of a Malik Nabers, but his route running, contested catch. I mean, he's getting doubled all the time, had bad quarterback play. Is there anybody in the past couple of years we can think of who every show I'm listening to is saying he's can't miss? I'm like, well, what about this guy? What about this guy? Can we think of anybody that was drafted super high, top 10, Corey Davis, right? But he wasn't even close to this.
No, I mean, he was small school, right? Marvin Harrison's playing at Ohio State with a terrible quarterback, making that quarterback look like an Ohio State quarterback or look okay. I think he's just like, he's not herky jerky. He's not going to do insane stuff after the catch most of the time, but he's just super smooth. He doesn't, yeah, he makes every catch. And his dad is a great influence, right? I mean, he's the perfect guy to learn from.
James, how do you feel? Two questions. How do you feel about him not doing anything? He didn't test. He didn't talk. He didn't even talk.
Yeah, I struggle with this one because I like guys who want to compete, and I understand why he's doing it, because I think he really knows that he has probably nothing can. By him doing any type of testing, I don't think it could like elevate his status anymore. It could only hurt his status. So I 100% get the why. I just, I don't know, man. Athletics, college and pro athletics are just so different from the way they were even 10 years ago, 15, 20 plus years ago. These guys are worth so much more money, and we're talking millions and millions of dollars. So who am I to say, like, hey, I think this guy, you need to go run a 40-yard dash, you know, in a straight line, which you'll never do ever in a NFL football game. Like, so who am I to say that, right? So I get it. Do I like it? No. I wish we could really see these guys compete and do some, at least some type of form of drills. But I think he just says, look, like, what, watch my tape. Like, I made this guy, this bum, look really halfway decent, and I'm virtually unguardable in every scenario. So I really don't need to do another thing. So I get it.
I know you don't like the guy, Eric, but Spielman, Rick Spielman, the old GM of the Vikings, he hates when these guys don't play in their bowl game and they don't go out and compete at the combine. He really, really wants. Now, granted, he was a former linebacker, so he has a different thought process. Do these guys maybe not, right? That's the sentiment is, oh, my legs hurt a little bit. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to gut it out. I'm not going to do that. That's the thought process, right? That these guys aren't competitive enough to want to push themselves.
I think this one was calculated. Like, I don't think he's a non-compete guy. I mean, he's been a competitive dude his whole, he wanted to beat Michigan. He wanted to be in the national championship. He's super competitive. I'm not worried about that with this one. I think there's other ones that we're going to talk about today that I would be, but he's not one that I'm worried about with that.
We did say that once these guys get to this certain spot where they're a top five, top 10 pick, it almost doesn't help them. It's the guys that are third, fourth, fifth undrafted types that need to go to the combine and get a bump. It doesn't help Joe Alt to get measured.
No.
He's going to be a top 10 offensive lineman regardless. So I want
unless they know they're going to check every box, right? Unless they know I'm going to come in, I'm going to have 12 inch hands. I'm going to have a 40 inch wingspan. I'm going to run a 4.3. And I'm, you know, that's the only reason if you're already that high of a pick to test is just to solidify, okay, this guy is different.
Well, it could be instead of the third offensive tackle, he's the first, right? That could be a difference. So, last question on this for Marvin Harrison. And you've said this, James, many times. I just want all three of our opinions on this. Taking a wide receiver over a quarterback in a super flex. Taboo, risky, not what the industry would do, right? You've said you don't agree with that, James, typically.
Yeah, typically. So, I mean, in this scenario, right, we know Caleb Williams is going to have maintained value, even if he has an average first year. You know, so the way I look at it is if Marvin Harrison goes, let's say, for 1,207 and, you know, 85 catches, which is an amazing rookie year, right? We think, and that's all, we all think those are probably possibilities that are within his realm. And Caleb Williams has an average year, value-wise, I think the quarterback just holds more value in most super flex leagues. Now, I know Eric has a different philosophy. We've actually had some interesting conversations about how he calculates the wide receiver points and how many slots there are to fill versus two quarterbacks. And he has some interesting, you know, numbers when it comes to that. So, but I think in general, in your league, I know Eric has also said this, what a guy's worth what your league thinks he's worth, right? So quarterbacks and super flex leagues just as a whole have maintained more value. So it's a gutsy pick. His risk is very mitigated in this draft because it's Marvin Harrison, it's Malik Nabers, it's these type of guys who we all think ceilings are just stupid. So if it was, you know, a draft where, you know, Corey Davis was the number one wide receiver from a few years back, it'd be ridiculous to even think that way. But because of the value that these wide receivers are going to bring, it's not out of this world to think that way.
And I'll come to you in a second, Eric. But the other idea is, for instance, I have the 1-3 in a league. I don't think you guys are in it, but I have, I believe, Josh Allen and Jordan Love. Well, so unless I'm thinking about trading, the move is wide receiver, because my best wide receiver is like DJ Moore or something, right? So
Who's your number three quarterback in that league? Just out of curiosity,
I think it's Deshaun Watson. So it's like
somebody
who can step in and is probably going to be a QB 24, you know, top 24 this year if he plays. So I'm not concerned about the depth thing. I'm concerned about my starting wide receiver section. So that is something to think about. And if you're if you have the 1-4 and the 1-8, which I've gone through a lot of my leagues, and there seems to be a lot of that. Somebody will have the 1-2 and the 1-9, the 1-0-1 and the 1-6 or whatever. You got to decide where your depth's going to be, right? So if I go here, I can still get a JJ McCarthy here, maybe, or something. You have to pick which duo you want. So that's a thought. So Eric, thought on super flex quarterbacks versus wide receivers first.
Yeah, if you're getting the top end of the top end wide receiver or quarterback, outside of Josh Allen, who's been, and Jalen Hurts, who were insane this last year, if your quarterback's averaging 24 points a game or your wide receiver's averaging 24 points a game, you're getting a bigger lift from your wideout, because the average wideout scores a lot less than the average quarterback. Like, I had a league that I was competitive in this last year where I had Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, and they both went down, and I was starting Gardner Minshew and Baker Mayfield, and they were sitting there getting me 18 points each a week, but my wide receivers were all scoring 22 points a week, and that just gets you so much more lift over the other dude that you're facing is getting 12 points a week from wide out. So quarterbacks are awesome. I think if your league values quarterbacks extremely highly, then you definitely should, you know, stack quarterbacks and trade them for value when you can. But right now, the top end quarterbacks are scoring too close to the average level quarterback, which wasn't the case 8 years ago. And the top level wide receivers are scoring way more than the average wide receiver.
This was your war argument, correct?
Above replacement. Yep. Yeah. Like win above replacement. So you're basically gaining 12 points by having a 24 point wide receiver versus gaining 7 points by having a 24 point per game quarterback.
Even some quarterbacks who had bad weeks, right? You look up right. And how the F did they get, Tyson Badgen, I think, had 16 one week. You're like, what?
Yeah.
So I get it. All right, James, you're at the 1-2. What are we thinking?
Well, I mean, you got to take Caleb. I mean, this is pretty easy pick. If Marvin's going 1-1, then Caleb's going 1-2. I mean, as far as value goes, you know, you draft for value and trade for need, right? So I'm assuming if you're in a 1.2 position, you probably have a hole at one of your quarterback spots, or maybe even two that you need to fill. So, I mean, again, my personal belief, I like Drake May more than I like Caleb Williams. Okay, we've already done our QB show. That's been talked about. But again, when it comes to value, what's perceived value in your league, Caleb Williams is probably going to hold more value than Drake May. And we're doing this draft, as we said, as if we're all going like neutral across the board. I think we all would agree that, you know, in the industry, Caleb has more value than Drake May at this point.
He's going to the best situation a rookie quarterback's gone to in the last 15 years, or at least equal.
It's not even close, right? Like, I mean, I was like, who could you possibly say is going to walk into Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, a pretty good left tackle, Swift, a pretty salty defense to kind of, you know.
Defense?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't even think this is even a I don't even think this is even a question about, like, you know, when it comes into situations.
Probably add another wide receiver somewhere, right? They'll add one. I don't believe the Adunze talk at 9, but I think they'll take a wide receiver somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. We've talked ad nauseum about Caleb Williams and our problem. It's just the costs, right? And we go, okay, the cost versus the reward. But this is the tier, these two. And you're either taking one or the other. That's it. I've heard some of these guys talking about, you know, taking JJ McCarthy or Malik Nabers first. I'm like, I don't. I don't really buy it. Maybe they're just trying to get clicks. But so now at the 1-3, the big question is Drake May or Malik Nabers. And I think Drake May has a higher ceiling than Malik Nabers. You hear about Malik Nabers being a problem already? They're already throwing that out there to see if they can get him, get his stock dropped a little bit. Oh, he's a diva.
The Giants are releasing unsolicited information.
It's, you know, he's a wide receiver who has an ego. Watch out.
Weird.
I think that the other possibility here is still Jaden Daniels, but some guys are crazy high on him. This is probably the deepest rookie draft through 7 picks that I've been a part of in fantasy that I can remember. There were literally 3 through 7 you could just flip and have a good argument. So I'm going to take Drake May at 3. I think his upside is, we've talked about it enough. So Eric, back to you.
Yeah. If May or Williams made it here, they would have been my pick, but I'm not a big Daniels believer. I think there's a lot of smoke being blown right now. The other 3 quarterbacks out of the top 4 are all young QBs. Daniels is a 5th-year QB. So part of me wonders if there's just a little bit of smoke there. Wasn't that great before he came to LSU. Wasn't insane last year. And the guy just gets smacked when he runs. So I do think he will get injured. I thought Anthony Richardson was a better runner, was smarter runner, and he got injured last year multiple times. So here is where I would take Nabers.
Okay.
And that's not even just the wide receiver versus quarterback debate for me here. I would have taken May or Williams. I'm not a Daniels guy.
It is interesting that I've heard all these different tiers within this, you know, process. I think this is another tier. I think Drake May and Malik Nabers is a tier. We all like Roma Dunze, but I'm not going to take him over Nabers. So I think that this is the tier. James, you're up. Oh, thoughts on Nabers? I mean, he's just a badass. He's just, when you see him with the ball, the way he runs, he's so fast with the ball. And his yak production is going to be crazy in the league.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those situations where I think, and we talked about a little of this earlier. If you're early pick 1-1, you probably have multiple holes on your roster. So I would have no qualms if a guy sitting at the 1-1 right now says, you know what, I can fill 2 holes here. Maybe if I drop down a couple spots here, I still get a Malik Nabers, who I think is very close to Marvin Harrison as far as his ceiling goes. I can still get Malik Nabers, and then maybe I pick up an additional, if you got a guy who's really got a strong belief that Marvin Harrison's the second coming of, you know, insert name, you know, you pick up maybe another future first round pick or another second round pick in this draft, and you hopefully get, you know, two spots filled. So I think this draft is a great draft to possibly trade down. If you're in those top spots and fill multiple holes in your lineup, because Nabers to Harrison's, I think, pretty close. I think May and Caleb, you could really, I think, split a lot of hairs there as well. I just don't see where you can have a strong enough belief to completely rule out another guy. And I think you shoot your shot with two different prospects.
You take the 1-4 and a 2025 first for the 1-1, both of you?
If I think the 2025 first misses the playoffs, I'd do that for sure.
We don't know. Yeah. Let's say you don't know.
Yeah, I think he, I mean, chances are he is, because he's picking 4 this year, right? So, I mean, unless you think he's 1 quarterback away, but I mean, he's going to have to jump with 3 guys to make the playoffs. So,
there's also the discussion I've had with a few players, fantasy players, who are in leagues that this situation's come up, and they go, why? There's no reason for me to move up. I'm getting somebody great at 3. I'm getting somebody great at 4. The jump to 4 is where the drop off is, though, really.
Yep.
Because now we have another, and not a lot of guys are trying to jump to the 5 or 6. It's like top 4. That's how it's been in a couple leagues with me.
you got to have a guy who's basically like a hardcore, like you got to get a guy who's like a hardcore Bears fan. Right. And he just wants Caleb. Like, you know, I got to have a piece of Caleb. I want to be on that. I want to, you know, I want to be the first, you know, guy that's had a Bears quarterback that's thrown for 4,000 yards. And I've been waiting for this my whole life. And I just want, you find that guy in your draft. If you got one of those, if you got a, you got an opportunity. But otherwise, I agree, because I was talking about this with a guy earlier, that because the depth is so high, your more intelligent veteran players are fine just sitting and not having to pay the price to trade up. So you got to find an emotional owner, I think, more than someone who's thinking with their head.
I'm in one league where I have the 1-1. It was an orphan team, I believe. And I was offered the 1-7 and 1-10, something like that. And I went, you know, there's still good players there, but right. That's one where you have to let me get back to you. When normally we kind of know right away, boom.
Yeah. Cause if you could, if Rome somehow goes to the 1-7 and you think you get Rome and you get Penix, like that's,
I know you start doing the math in your head. And you would I trade those two players right now for that player? But we don't know who's getting taken. So you almost want to wait till after the draft or something.
Yeah.
And so
that's like those are like draft day trades almost, right? Like,
yeah. Hey, who do you want? Tell me who you want at 1-1. I want Caleb. Okay. That's who I was going to take. So when the draft comes, if my guy's at 7, we do that all the time. If my guy's there at 7, we got a deal.
But you might not be able to move down as easily after the draft if bad landing spots happen, or say JJ McCarthy, this has all been smoke and all of a sudden he's a second rounder, or Daniels falls to like 11 and JJ's a second rounder. So like 7's value right now, I think, is hot, but I don't know if it will be post-draft, honestly. Like I legitimately could see the McCarthy stuff being a lot more smoke than it is. And even if he ends up with the Vikings, but it's at 11 instead of at 4 or 5, that's a massive difference. Like not spending 2 first round picks to go up and get him is a massive difference than him just being picked at 11.
He's almost worth a ton less if he just falls to 11.
For sure is.
Yeah. It's the devil's tango. This is much easier during a startup draft when somebody wants to move up, because we already know where all these guys are. All right, James, you're at the 1-5.
Yeah, so man, so this is a Daniels or a Dunze territory here. So I guess it depends on the construct of my team, but and I'm gonna stick with what I said earlier. The quarterbacks have higher value, and I'm gonna stick to what I said, because it's hard, because the Rome I think heat is gonna only pick up here. I think he's just gonna gain momentum as the draft approaches. And I mean, that's hard for me to pass on Rome Odunze, because I really think he's like bulletproof. He's so good in so many different aspects. He gets open in every single level. His release package off the lines is literally just, it's almost perfect. So, golly.
The problem with Jaden Daniels is if he hits, he's better than any of the other quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah,
like there's just no, he is so fast, and his rushing upside is just you can't measure it. He's an automatic top 5, top 7 quarterback. Period. If he does well, even hell, we've looked at some of these quarterbacks who they don't even have to run for 1,000 yards if they run for 600.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's very capable of running for 500 yards, like his rookie year. I don't see that being an issue at all. Whether or not he's in one piece at the end of the year is going to be a different story. He's going to have to learn how to slide. But I'm going to take Jaden Daniels just because of pure value here. It's not, my heart says Rome, but my brain says go with the value. So I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels.
I don't know why it hit me this way. Just this is the way I am. I'm at the urinal today at work, and I'm just, you know, what do you normally think about? I started thinking about Tua Tagovailoa. Maybe it was the Tua Tug job or something.
Tua, yeah, Tug. Yeah.
Tug job. But I started thinking, you know, this is what we had a problem with this last off season. We didn't think Tua was going to be able to play a whole season and stay upright. They figured it out. I think if Jaden Daniels gets to whoever, they're going to bring this up and they're going to figure it out. Us just assuming he's going to get hurt, I think that's dangerous because we didn't think Anthony Richardson was going to get hurt. And look at who Bryce Young played the whole year. We've said that a couple times. And I'm just looking at what you and I talked about a little bit, Eric, was he's played for a long time and he just now started becoming electric, right? That's the question with him.
Yeah. He also, Tua is a interesting thing to think about with Daniels, because Daniels also underthrows the deep ball just about like Tua does. So, I don't know. I'm not just betting on the injury. Honestly, he didn't throw over the middle at all in college, and that's a massive part of the NFL. I think his arm strength is subpar. I think it's adequate, but I think it's subpar. I don't think he's like, he's not a rifle thrower. He does like the big arcing deep ball, and his guys are so wide open that they can wait for it to get there. But I just don't think his arm is special, and it took him 5 years to be good.
You know, like I think he's got a good arm. I don't think it's. I think there's guys that are better, but he. How can you look at his production against those teams that he played and say that he didn't have a good arm?
Didn't we just talk about Malik Nabers' run after the catch ability?
Well, but Brian Thomas. I mean, Brian Thomas was a deep threat. I mean,
yeah. I mean, when I watched the Malik Nabers and the Brian Thomas film, there's like a lot of times where I'm like, man, if they just got hit in stride, that's a touchdown. And then they get tackled on the 8 because somebody is able to catch them because it was underthrown. And it's caught, right? I mean, they're so wide open that it is caught. But it's just like that hidden stride thing. I don't know. He just threw so many 9 balls and then ran the ball. It was one read and run, and sometimes it didn't even get to a read.
Sounds like he doesn't like your pick, James.
I don't like the player, but I think he could be good for fantasy while he plays. I think I've said he's top 6 player, but I think he's a 2-year, 3-year starter who's giving you good fantasy output if he's on the field, but you better be fine taking another quarterback in 3 years.
Somebody, one of the shows I started listening to was The Volume. It was like the Colin Cowherd feed, and he has a former scout on there. I forget his name. I just started listening to it. But Jaden Daniels is not 210. There's no way. But he also talked about Bryce Young, and he was there at the weigh-in, and he said Bryce Young waddled up to the scale. And he said he probably went right to the bathroom right afterwards. They pumped him full of everything to get him to that weight.
Well, it was pretty telling. If you remember Bryce Young, he did the combine, and then his pro day was only like,
he didn't do the combine, though. He didn't throw.
No, he weighed. He weighed in at the combine.
Yes, you're right.
He weighed in. That's what I'm talking about. So he weighed at the combine. And his pro day was not like, it was like 10 days later. It wasn't very long after the combine. And he wouldn't weigh in again. And right. he looked like a guy who had dumped a bunch of weight before a UFC fight. I was like, okay, come on, man. Like, there's no way that you can buy this. Like, you can see the disparity in his face, and you could just see the weight. Yep. So it was pretty telling. Like, I mean, you know, come on, we see this all the time with guys who wrestle and fights and things like that. You make your weight, and then you immediately go back to like trying to do what you normally do. So that was pretty telling to me. So I knew right away when that happened, like, okay, he was a good 15 pounds juice more than what, you know, he was at the time. So again, with Jaden Daniels, that dude's not in the 200s. Like, I don't see a 2 leading his weight. I see a 1 with 195, 197. Yeah.
He was 175 when he came into college, 185 the next year, 185 the next year. Then he went to LSU. They instantly listed him at 210 that first year at LSU.
What a stud. Yeah. What a stud, huh?
That's a great weight program down there, Eric. I'm telling you, buddy.
Yeah, he gained that 25 pounds in the summer that he transferred from ASU.
So, I will say this, though, okay, because he has a 6'4" frame, he will fill out like and in the NFL as he gets older. Yes, he will. No, he won't.
He is so skinny. He's been in school for 5 years. He hasn't filled out at all.
It's physics. He'll get to 210 eventually. It might be 8 years in the league, but he'll eventually get to 210.
Naturally fill out, Eric, as you get older. James and I know.
Yeah, when trust.
Sit on the couch drinking beers, watching football.
You know, I was reading about horse racing, history of horse racing, and those jockeys down in Mexico. They used to put on these rubber suits and jump in a big pile of manure and sit in that Mexico sun. So maybe that's what Bryce Young did. They'd cut like 15, 20 pounds in a day. It was crazy. Yeah, that's the problem with Jaden Daniels compared to Drake May, right? You look at Drake May and you just see him next to guys and walk around. He's 230, right? 6'4", 230. And you just feel better, just a little bit better. I'm at the 1-6. This is an easy one. Roma Dunze. Love the guy. Love that Spielman loves him. Spielman loves this guy because of those cone drills. Staying after, just trying to rip through and get that. I think J.J. McCarthy had a better three-cone drill, I believe, than Roma Dunze, if I'm correct. So,
did he really?
I think so. But the idea with Adunze is I have been reading a little bit more about, you know, some of the scouts are kind of doing what they're doing with Malik Nabers, which is he had another guy there and Washington had other guys and he still dominated, which is a good thing, right? He still demanded targets from Penix, even with Polk and McMillan, and you know their tight ends were decent. So I kind of look at his game, and when we talk about the idea of can't miss, I kind of think Roma Dunze is a can't miss. I just think the way he plays and his talent level, I almost feel if I had to bet my house on him or Nabers having a 10-year career, I'm going to take a Dunze. I just feel better about his floor.
Yeah, he's just the definition of like built to be a pro, right? Like everything about his game just translates, and yep. He's just good. And you can just see like, okay, this guy is gonna even almost like DeAndre Hopkins, like right, like where DeAndre Hopkins, even as he's gotten older, he still knows how to get open. Larry Fitzgerald, like these guys, just find ways to get open, and they know how to do what they need to do. And Roma Dunze just has that type of like vibe to him. Like it doesn't matter. Like I'm going to get open for the next 10 years and there's not a thing you guys can do about it.
Eric had to run down to his panic room. You getting burglarized or?
No, I was, my kid was not going to bed. So I just went and put him in his room and got him off the bed with my wife.
I've been getting, on my shows, a lot more Davante Adams comps for him. I'm kind of seeing it a little bit. Davante Adams was not polished when he came out. I remember watching all these games on the Packers go, man, is this guy even going to make it? And then all of a sudden it just clicked. So I think that there's even another level that he could take, which would be amazing. I like him probably better than Nabers. I might swap those two guys out.
So that was one of the questions I had. I went through and looked through our rankings and stuff before this pod. And I wrote down a few questions that I wanted to ask you guys. And one of them was, if you had Odunze closer to Nabers or Nabers closer to Harrison. And for me, I think it's obviously Odunze closer to Nabers. I think like Harrison is obviously a step above Nabers for me. But I thought I wanted to ask you guys both that because we didn't cover this here, but we all have Harrison 1, Nabers 2, Odunze 3 on our sheet right now.
And it's just close. And that eventually does come down to landing spot. Cause I keep seeing Adunze going to the Bears. And I'm like, ugh, maybe next year, that's fine. Year two or three. But then if Malik Nabers goes to the Cardinals, well, hell yeah, I'd rather have that than Adunze and the Bears. Like just on a production level and target share and all that stuff. Or I keep seeing Malik Nabers going to the Giants. I'm like, do I even draft him? Like, you really start feeling that way.
Yeah.
I just don't see any way that the Bears go wide receiver after going after Keenan Allen. Like,
I agree.
They already have DJ Moore. I just don't see any way possible that they go that route. I think they probably go maybe edge rusher. They could go edge rusher.
They don't have a second, right? So they'd have to pick somebody up in the third. But I could see them picking in like a Corley or somebody like that in the third round.
Yeah, I just, after the Keenan Allen deal, I just don't see any way they go Odunze.
I think they have pretty high odds to trade down too. I think they'd love to like screw the Vikings over by getting the Broncos to trade up and take a quarterback if that's how it is there. So I think they have pretty high odds to trade down as well. They've traded down a lot in previous drafts with Ryan Poles.
Yep. All right, Eric, you are up.
Yeah, so this, I think in most drafts, this is going to be the Bowers or the J.J. McCarthy spot. I personally don't really like J.J. McCarthy, and we talked on the last pod how I feel about taking tight end. And so this is the spot that I would actually take Ladd McConkey. He's my boy. I think he's mostly projected in the very end of the first or very early second. I think he's super high volume. I really like his film. He reminds me of just like an Amon-Ra type at best, but you know, worst case scenario, I think he's super safe to be like a wide receiver too for years to come.
James nearly fell out of his rocking chair down there.
Well, don't get me wrong. I know you're a McConkey guy, but really, the 1-7, huh?
I'd probably, if I had this pick, I'd be looking to trade out because somebody would want to come up for a Bowers or a McCarthy. But if I had to make the pick, I wasn't going to get the deal I wanted.
The problem is, if you grab him at the 110, 111, 112, everybody's pretty. And I get the idea that we should draft where we want to draft, because if we go back and look at last year's rookie draft, we could go, ugh, 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 good, ugh, ugh. And that's how most of these are, right? At the time, that's right. Anybody taking Marvin Harrison over Caleb Williams looks like an idiot if you just listen to shows.
So here's my biggest concern with McConkey, and this is something I know I've talked to Eric about a little bit, but I mean, so his percentage of success rates versus man is pretty good. So 74% zone, it's really good. It's 83% success against man. He's a smart guy. He understands zones. He knows how to sit down. That's pretty easy to see on tape. 44% though against the press, like that scares the hell out of me for a guy who's going to play in the NFL in either the slot position, which is mostly where he's being projected to play as in the slot, or in he'll kick outside some as well. So, I mean, 44% is 8th percentile, okay, as far as success rate goes against a press. I think it really – you must be careful in how he's used and what offense. Is he going to be off the line of scrimmage? Is he going to be used in motion a lot? Is he going to be used in that aspect? Okay, I think you can maybe protect that insufficiency of him being locked up in a press man coverage situation. But if he's in a position where he's not moved around a lot or he's not off the line of scrimmage, I worry about his strength at the line of scrimmage, because that tells me when a guy gets his hands on him, he can't get away, right? And we all know these slot corners, the top slot corners, these guys get up in your grill. This ain't the freaking Big Ten. This isn't the Pac-12 where you're getting 7 yards of cushion in the slot, you know, position. So I know we all like Laz McConkey's tape, and I get that, but that's my biggest worry about him at the next level in his translation.
Yeah, you get pressed more on the outside, right? Because slot, you're off the ball by a yard and a half. But
I'm talking about in general, though, Eric. I mean, those slot corners are way closer to the line of scrimmage than they are in college, right? I mean,
I think he's going to get more cushion in the NFL because I think they were up on that run defense like crazy. So I think they pressed quite a bit, honestly. But he also, I would press him too if I see him on the outside. I mean, he's small. He's skinny, right? Like that, they're pressing him like crazy on the outside, and he didn't get to play slot as much as he should have because he had big lug Brock Bowers, who wasn't attached to the line, who was out there playing big slot for most of his tight end snaps.
Question is, fantasy wise, you and I love him, Eric. What is his upside? What do we think his, I mean, is he ever going to be 100 catches, 900 yards? Like, I don't know if I see that.
I see that. I don't see high touchdown numbers. That's where I think the upside is lower for him. I think most of his touchdowns aren't going to be red zone touchdowns. I think they're going to be long touchdowns where he gashed up a seam because he is quick. But I see him being a very good possession wideout for me. But I don't see him having 8, 9, 10 touchdown seasons. I just think he's super safe. Like, I don't see a high bust rate for him.
He wouldn't seem to have the traits to bust. I mean, theoretically, I guess we've had our Tutu Atwells and guys like that come through the league that were smaller and quicker, but he also runs deep routes really well. He's mm-hmm. not just some little slot receiver who runs, you know, 10-yard outs or 5-yard outs. He's there. If some team uses him, I don't know. Is he Amon-Ra St. Brown type-ish?
I would love to see him go to a Shanahan McVay style offense where they motion guys a lot.
Yeah.
And use him that way. Ayuk gets traded to the Bills. The 49ers pick up a back end first and they take Ladd McConkey. I'd love to see that.
Well, you're not getting him in rookie drafts, what, later than the second? So, like 2-2.
I don't think you're getting him past 110 in most drafts or past 112.
Somewhere in there. So this is, you know, if you reach a little bit, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
So what's his NFL draft capital been? Like, where, so if you're thinking 1-7 range, you gotta be thinking he's at late the first, latest. Early
second.
Yeah, early second has been I've seen him in the 2-5, 2-3 range and some.
I'm just curious because I mean, like, because I know Eric's big on draft capital. Like, I know he takes that into account a lot. And I think there might be 3 or 4 other guys that go before him
in the draft capital. He keeps getting mocked to the Chiefs, right? And at first we were laughing that off, but Rashee Rice is going to go. He's not playing for a while if Texas does what Texas does. So he could, but he's also, I could just see them waiting and trying to, you know, grab a bigger wide receiver if they lose Rashee Rice because he was a bigger guy. But that's where I think that's where Eric and I have seen most of the time. It's either really late first or, you know, early second.
Yeah, I've seen him to the Bills. That's why I also talked about the Bills pick possibly getting traded to the 49ers for Ayuk is like Bills or 49ers picking in that slot. I could totally see him in either of those offenses working. And if he does go early second, those teams are going to pepper him with targets. Like if he were a Panther, he would get so many targets. I don't care that Deontay's there. He would get a ton of targets as well.
All right. That's our Ladd McConkey hour for the week.
So for the listeners, Ladd McConkey is 4 for me, 5 for Scott, and 7 for James.
Oh, geez.
Wide receiver.
It's tough. It's lonely at the top, fellas.
I've always been a fan of the Wes Welker types. I love volume through receptions. I could care less about touchdowns. I love when I have a team that on average, I get 6-7 catches from everybody. It's a killer when you're playing those teams in fantasy and you're just watching the stupid points rack up 1.5, 1.8, 2.2. And you go, no big deal. And then all of a sudden they have 12 points at halftime and they've done hardly, you know, they're 7 for 50. And you go, well, they didn't even hardly do anything. And they're going to end up with 25 points without a touchdown. Love those guys. James, you're up.
No, you really pissed me off, Eric. Because I don't really want to take Brock Bowers in the first round either.
What?
Well,
what?
I mean, if it's a tight end premium league, obviously he's not even here at this point. But like,
cares. I'm so good.
He is good. I get that. But I've been listening to Eric, and he's got me starting to think he's onto something about not drafting these guys in the first round and just taking your lumps and trading a pick later and go get a veteran guy. So I kind of like his thought process.
Hey, let somebody else make the possible mistake, huh? Because he's going to go in the first round, every single rookie draft in America.
He is. So I just recently updated my draft board here, and I'm going to go with Mr. A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas.
Are we trying to help people?
We are.
Okay.
Because this guy is an athletic freak of nature, and I can't wait till he gets unleashed on the NFL, because he was playing in that crap hole of an offense down in Texas with Quinn Ewers and a bunch of one read, two read options, single side options. Nobody was even looking backside. So he gets razzed about not running routes hard and everything else. When if you watch a lot of tape of it, nobody ran routes on the backside because they knew they weren't getting the ball. Like, there was literally Quinn Ewers was one side of the field read, and that was it. So if you're running a backside route, you're not getting the ball. And then guess what? After doing that a few times, I ain't running the route that hard either. So NFL will be different. That'll get coached out of him. The guy's 83rd and 84th percentile against man in press coverage. Like, that's all I need to know. Like, I'm in. He's an athletic freak of nature. He's an absolute ball hawk with the ball in the air. The guy's an athletic freak. He's going to win in the red zone. And I think the way he changes pace in his route, I'm just a huge fan of. I love the way his tempo is set up. I think he's going to be a way better pro than maybe he showed at the college level. And I'm in on AD Mitchell.
What was it? Because I don't think Eric and I a long time ago thought he was that fast, like his straight line speed, but he ran a 4.34. So I do think, though, that it goes back to his comments, which was, I don't run in full speed.
So he doesn't.
So I can be on the field for more reps. And so when you say that's going to get coached out of him, you know, he's kind of is he going to turn into Chase Claypool?
I don't see that at all. I think some of those, when you watch that whole video, I think some of those comments got a little twisted, but he's, when he runs his route, it's like playing basketball, Scott. You're a basketball guy, right? Would you rather face a guy who's fast and the same speed all the time? Or do you want to go up or guard the guy who's shifty, changes speeds, knows when to ramp up and when to slow down? Like, those guys are way more of a pain in the ass to guard. So I want that guy. And I think AD Mitchell is really, really good at it. And I've been on AD for a while. I'm sticking with it. And his combine numbers just confirmed to me he's probably one of the best athletes in this class.
This is another tier, right? The 1-7? Or would we throw Brock Bowers in that last tier?
I think in most drafts, you're going to see, before this McConkey, AD Mitchell, I think you're going to see McCarthy and Bowers in their own tier.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see 7-8 as those two in their own tier in most drafts, if the NFL draft goes the way that it's projected right now.
And I think it's important for listeners to understand, this is based off of what the three of us, how we have these players ranked in our minds, right? Like, this is probably not likely the way your draft's going to go. And I understand that, but we're trying to give some semblance to what possibly could happen based on the way the draft goes. But I like these guys. I'm not a McCarthy fan at all. I'm not, and I don't really care where he gets drafted. I'm still not going to be a fan. I could care less if it's Denver or Minnesota. I don't care who's throwing the ball to. I don't want to do anything with McCarthy. So
dismissive of the world.
I know. Yeah. I just have a pretty strong feeling about McCarthy, and I'm going to stick with it. So,
You work near spas. You should like a guy that likes to meditate and things like that.
No, I don't handle fruitcakes very well, and that boy's a fruitcake.
It's Caleb Williams for his pink phone. He drafted him.
Yeah, that's just because I can trade them for a lot more. That's the only reason why.
That is true. Well, I'm at the 1-9. This is where the problem is. If Brock Bowers is here, we can talk about how good was Sam Laporta, right? Maybe the best tight end season of all time for a rookie, definitely. One of the better just years for a tight end in a while. It's good season. But I don't know how much of a difference he made on fantasy championship teams.
Because and was he the first tight end taken that year?
Well, he definitely
was not.
But I keep on hearing people talk about Sam Laporta. And I watched a lot of Detroit Lions games because I am a Detroit Lions fan, not a Detroit Lions fan.
And love you, Matt.
Yeah, I love you, Matt. Come back soon. And he was awesome, but I didn't get dynamic. I didn't get, you know, the guy that's going to get me Kelsey numbers one day, that kind of thing. I think he was what we all hope for with out of a tight end, which is give me some points. Don't make me throw up. And that's kind of how I'm wondering about Brock Bowers in just standard leagues. We hate tight end premium leagues. And so I am curious in some of our regular scoring leagues, how high Brock Bowers is going to be given. What does that mean to a 11, right? Our starting rosters are 11 deep. Is, you know, the quarterback or the wide receiver that much more valuable than Brock Bowers? I kind of think it is. It's hard to pass on him at this point just because of wherever he goes. He's going to get drafted, hopefully in the top 15. They should use him. Other side of this is we all have Pitts something. I don't know what disease you could throw out there. Pitts, a Pitts cold.
Pitts syndrome.
Yeah. We've all had shares of Pitts and we've all gotten rid of shares of Pitts. And he's just as talented, I think, as Brock Bowers, or at least in that range compared to some of these Ben Sinnott and other guys we've watched. I think at this point, I'm going to take JJ McCarthy.
Oh, I thought that was all leading up to a Brock Bowers pick.
I think JJ McCarthy, of all these guys, is the biggest conundrum. We've heard he's going second. We've heard he's going third. We've heard he's going fourth. We've heard he doesn't have a good arm. We've heard he doesn't do this well. He doesn't do that well. If I'm at the 1-9, he's worth the gamble of getting a starting quarterback. If I look at some of the other guys, we love Penix. Some of us like Bo Nix, but I think at the 1-9 in a super flex, that's worth the gamble for McCarthy over a Brock Bowers. Because if both of them hits, McCarthy's better for my team.
How far would you drop McCarthy here if he is a teens pick versus a top 10 pick, top 8 pick? Is he still around here?
I think so. They're talking about the Vikings trading what, the 11 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
And yet every year we see these guys drop to teams. Every year it seems like it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just playing chicken right now.
I think this guy has the highest likelihood of the Will Levis smokescreen effect. I think there's a lot more Penix love out there than people want to lean on. And McCarthy is the shiny object to throw over here while I'm over here going, hey, I really want this guy over here. So
Broncos take him at 12. You wouldn't want that?
McCarthy?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. No, no, no. No, thank you. Hell no. No. No, and I wouldn't take McCarthy unless he falls into the second round. I mean, like draft value wise, I'm not gonna draft him the first 12 picks. I think there's too many other good players in this draft. I just think his ceiling is, I think if he has a Derek Carr like career, like that is really probably pretty good for him. I think that's his ceiling. And that's just my personal, I guess, comp to him.
You're gonna rue the day, James. Rue the day.
Well, that means you love him, Scott. I mean, that means you're going to love JJ McCarthy.
I love shiny objects.
He wears mascara. He's just your type of guy.
He looks just like if they were to have cast an actor to play Zach Wilson in a movie, that's what he looks like.
Yeah, I saw that. If they cast an actor to play Zach Wilson in a movie about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
How about I like winners? He's won. That has to be worth something.
I like fantasy championships. This guy ain't going to give you
one. I've won just as many as you, so we can't be that far off.
With Derek Carr on your team, you have not.
I think 1 year I did. I think once I did. All right, Eric's at the 110. We're going to go a little bit faster once we get a little bit deeper because we have less to argue about.
And this is just where I'd take Brock Bowers. It's far enough at this point. I would just pop it. I mean, he's in the top tier of players. Most people would consider him probably around 107, maybe 108. So this is just where I'd take him for the value and stash him. Or, you know, if I'm picking at 110, hopefully that's my own 110. I'm probably good enough to stash him if I need to.
If you just watch any of his games where he was healthy and he's got a gear.
Yep.
It's really hard not to like somebody like him. What is he, 6'4", 240? So then you get into that. Is he really a tight end? Is he this or that? But I think I think it was Charles Davis that was talking about him. And he said, he's not a tight end. He's just an offensive weapon. And whoever drafts him has got to use him that way, with sweeps, with screens, with just everything. And I think we thought they would do that with other players. So we shouldn't say.
I think this is his absolute floor, like in every draft, like regardless of what happens with draft capital and everything. I think 1.6 is probably should be his ceiling, all the way to 1.10 kind of being his floor. So,
yeah.
Because I mean, again, we talk about the way your team's constructed. Most, if it goes according to the way you finished. I mean, if you're sitting in that 1.6, 7, 8 range, you probably have a need a receiver. You probably need a really good flex spot. Do you really want to go spend that draft capital or on a tight end that you think is going to be, like you guys have talked about? I mean, the Laporta had the best tight end ever last year, and he's worth probably the 1.7 in this draft, 1.6 maybe. So are you really banking on Brock Bowers being just as good and being valued at the same exact spot? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really make.
Who was the number 10 tight end in our leagues? It was Dalton Schultz.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you sort of go, if I'm not getting one of the top two producing tight ends, I can wait and it's not going to make a difference. Whereas if I have a top 10 wide receiver, huge difference to my team.
Yeah. And I would rather fire my shot on Rome McConkie our draft here is Rome, McConkie, and Adnai. So, or McCarthy, I guess, if you need a quarterback there. I would rather shoot my shot, I guess, with those guys than on a Brock Bauer. So, but I think that's his floor. So, sorry.
Agreed.
Yep.
Okay, James.
I'm going Michael Penix here. I think I think Penix is not going to get out of the first round in your rookie drafts. I don't think Penix is getting out of the top 15 to 18 picks in the NFL draft. I think this guy has got a lot more smoke, a lot more heat, I guess, than smoke right now. And I think everyone's playing coy. I think Penix is on a lot more people's boards than they're leading on right now.
And then he's the drop off at quarterback.
Definitely.
We like somebody likes Bo Nix enough. So how close is Bo Nix, James, for you to Penix?
Honestly, I've separated Penix now from Nix. I think there's a pretty significant change in value.
Looking at your ranks here.
I think Nix is more likely now, just based on what I've been hearing, I think Nix is more likely now to be a third rounder than he is to be a first or second rounder. And it even sounds like in some places that Rattler has hopped Nix for some places, which I don't agree with, but I could see Nix being Broncos in that third round because you guys don't have a second rounder, right? I could totally see him being Broncos in the third.
That's a tough
see that, and I'm fine with that value at that point. Like, okay, like if you really want to go that route and you really like another guy better in the first round, then I'm okay with that approach, the value there. But I mean, I like the intangibles Knicks have. I know this isn't, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent too much longer, but we've already talked about our quarterbacks. But
no, tell us more about why you like Bo Nix.
Yeah, well, you know, intangible wise, good kid, does everything right, been through the fire. I know we've already talked about this, but anyways, it's Michael Penix for me is the pick at 111. I don't think he's getting out of the first round in your rookie drafts. I just don't see it.
The upside of Penix over Bo Nix is pretty substantial. I think we all agree.
Correct. Yep.
So, all right, I'm at the 112. I'm going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. Love the possibility. If he's got the body, what do they say in Ghostbusters? We have the tools. We have the talent. I mean, he's just, he ran a 4.33. And he was 45 pounds heavier than Xavier Worthy. I'll take it. That's all I have to say about it. And I think he's only scratched the surface of what he's capable of. I think he's still messy with his routes. I think he was just faster and, you know, taller. But I think if you watch a lot, there seems to be a little clumsiness to the way he, I mean, not if he's just breaking away, but some of his more crisp routes. I think if he can clean that up as he just gets older, I think he could easily be in the top four or even top three wide receivers in this class eventually. So that's 112. All right, let's speed it up a little bit. 2-1, Eric, you're up.
2-1. I'll take Troy Franklin. When we got to Brock Bowers, I actually switched Troy Franklin and BTJ in my rankings. I think I'd rather have Franklin than Brian Thomas right now.
Wow.
I think Brian Thomas is going to be a really good athlete and really good for an NFL team. But the more I've watched him, I don't see any way that he can be a volume wide receiver. I think he's going to have massive big plays. He reminds me of skinnier DK.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Exactly the same comp I was going to say when Scott was talking about him.
Yeah. He's got this so DK like leads the league in red zone targets like all the time. He's always like top five in red zone targets every year. And he never ends up with just a ton of touchdowns because he's just not this big go up and get it hands catcher. And that's what Brian Thomas is too. He kind of basket catches a lot of balls and body catches a lot of balls. So he's like a slant and goes guy, and he's quick and he's awesome for what he does, but he's going to have those 4 for 80 and 2 touchdown games. And then he's going to have those games where he ghosts you.
I am afraid if he goes to a team that doesn't have a more dominant wide receiver on the other side, I would be fine if he went to the Bengals. We've talked about that because of the T. Higgins comparison, but I would not want him as the wide receiver one on a team.
Like
Yeah, go ahead.
No, he'd be a better two than a lot of the wide receivers here. But like, if I'm like, let's say I'm rooting as a Bills fan, I probably honestly would rather have Troy Franklin than Brian Thomas just because of what they're going to do for that team. But if I'm a Cowboys fan who has CeeDee Lamb already, I think Brian Thomas is the perfect fit there.
I would agree. What's Troy Franklin though? The problem I tried to watch a lot of Oregon games because there's a hell of a lot of fun. He looked so skinny at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a scarecrow running out there. And Brian Thomas, they're about the same height, but Brian Thomas is about 25 pounds heavier.
Yeah, for sure. Just Franklin just catches with his hands and like is so much stronger at the catch point. He goes up for it where Brian Thomas kind of like, honestly, the way Brian Thomas lets the ball get to him reminds me of when I watched Jerry Jeudy film coming in, and I did not like Jerry Judy's catching coming in because he just let everything get to him. He never high pointed anything.
I thought we agreed we weren't going to talk about him anymore.
Oh, we're talking about wide receivers. We get to talk about him.
All right, James, you're up.
All right, boys, I think this is where the first running back comes off the board, Jonathan Brooks.
Ooh, okay.
This is the spot I had him to.
We've talked ad nauseum about Jonathan Brooks, so let's hope we get some good reports that he's probably not going to be ready, but maybe mid-season, you know, he's probably going to pup.
I think he might do a pup, miss the first four games, and then they really. I think he's one of those guys that last 4 to 5 weeks, you might get some glimpses, kind of like the kid from the Saints. The Kendre Miller, he like the last 1 or 2 weeks, he popped a little bit and everyone got really excited. And then you're like, well, I guess we got to wait until next year. But a similar type of scenario.
Yeah. Okay. I'm here at the 2-3. This is an easy one. Keon Coleman. I don't care what you guys say. I love him. I think he's going to be awesome. That's all I have to say about him.
So Keon Coleman, I guess we should have done this more, but Keon Coleman, you have 7, I have 9, and James has 17.
Well, precipitous fall from grace, Mr. Erdman. He was number 2 for you for a long time. For me, so he's fallen quite a bit, and I think that all of James's inclinations or questions about him are absolutely true. He is not going to win with speed off the line of scrimmage. I just think he's going to muscle his way into production. And like you said, Eric, a taller, what?
Chris Godwin.
You don't think so?
No. Dude is not strong, man. Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Not, no way. This guy, so...
Where do I
think he plays?
He's a big slot. No,
he's gonna. You better hope to God they put him in a slot role, because he is not going to win on the outside. 55% success rate against press coverage.
That's with better than Ladd McConkey.
It is by 10%, and he's twice as big as Ladd McConkey. Like, that scares the hell out of me.
Take That's that! Look, I got him 7 picks later.
19th percentile against press, 62% against just regular man, 20th percentile. I want nothing to do with this kid. He's on my do not draft list. I'm not touching him.
I love the sizzle. Every time I watched the Florida State game, he would, and granted, I didn't watch every single one, but he would just make plays where I go, damn, he looks like an NFL player on a college field. And I'm going to stick with him. And if I can get him at the 2-3, I think it, once again, we're at another tier after Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. This starts sort of another area where he could go anywhere from 2-3 to 2-10. And I think that that's worth a gamble. Because now we are getting into some gambles.
Yep. And this is where the realistic players take Xavier Worthy. The people who aren't going to be just all about the 4-2-1 or whatever. This is where the realist. So this is where I would be taking Xavier Worthy. That's where I'm going to take him. I think you're going to have some guy in almost every league that takes this guy at like 110 or 111 just because of the speed. If I'm taking him at 2-4, what I'm hoping for with him is to get 4 screen passes a game and 1 or 2 deep balls, and hopefully he breaks something. And he's my second flex or my third flex if you're playing in a deep league, and hopefully he breaks something. Yeah,
I'm so glad that you guys like see the same thing I do with this guy, because I'm like,
I don't get it with him.
I listen to all these other guys, and I mean, these guys are just, they have absolutely fallen in love with this dude, and I can't stop seeing Jalen Hyatt, and I'm like, what am I like? Am I really like this bad at like percept or you know progressing or projecting? I'm sorry, these guys to the next level, because I don't get it. I don't see it. He's fast as hell. I, you know, that's, no one's debating that, but I don't see it, man. Like, I think this is a perfect spot to take a shot. And I'm totally okay with it here, but man, if you're thinking 1-8 to 1-10 with this guy, just, you better have a stacked receiving room, and you're swinging for a fence. And if you hit it, it more power to you. I'll eat crow in 2 or 3 years if this guy's, you know, Devontae Smith. Okay, but I'm going to say I'm probably going to be more likely right than not on this one.
The track record of the top 25 fastest 40 times has not been kind. I mean, it's just math on that one.
Are we past the line here, guys, where you guys would take like a contending team's first for next year for this? Like, would at 204 here, are you taking 112? Like, what you think might be 112 next year, but maybe it could end up earlier. But would you take a contending team's first at this point? Or is it a little bit later still?
Looking at
it's probably pretty close for me. I'll be honest with you. It's probably pretty close for me.
Yeah.
You start getting into me where a lot of these running backs, I feel like you could start to make arguments for, you know, being drafted. And I would just prefer to go back into the next year's draft and try to get that receiver, or, you know what I mean? Like,
I think that's fair. It's a deep group here, but man, you could go down to our, I'm looking at my wide receiver, you know, 20 and take him. And it's the same as my number 11.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could trade down and, like you said, get a first or trade out, I think that's fair.
This is about the line where I'd take a contender's first next year. I think right about 107-ish was where I would take a super, a pick I thought was going to be really early from next year. And I think somewhere around 111 is where I would have taken a mid pick.
Luckily, Eric, Sir Eric, I have a little document in here that has our 2025 rookie draft class, possible class. And we did a little experiment, you and I, where this would be Torrey Horton.
Yeah.
Maybe Xavier Restrepo, who, boys and girls, go check him out. Awesome, out of Miami. And maybe for me, Isaiah Bond, also, which he transferred. I forget. Where did he transfer to?
He went to Texas, didn't he?
Yeah,
didn't he transfer to Texas?
Avon, Texas, right? He was out of Alabama. Maybe Egbuka, right? If you get like the 1.9, 1.10. So would you take any of those guys over anybody that's in the class? And it's definitely close. Or, you know, Carson Beck, or if like Nick Singleton drops to that point. So we're close. All right. James is up.
Yeah.
You got to start reaching a little.
Yeah. I think this is where you kind of start to go, all right, like, who's my guy? Like, do I really have belief in my guy here?
I know who you want to take.
Well, I know you know who I want to take, and I'm not going to do it because it's not realistic what's going to happen. But
no,
I think this is the point in the draft where you're going to start to see there could be a little bit of a running back run that starts to happen right around here. I think the Blake Corums, the Trey Bences, the Braylon Allens, the Jalen Wrights of the world are all in play starting around this pick. It's because we're 2-5 right now. So I think this is what's going to happen in most drafts. I think someone's going to look at like an Xavier Legette and just, he's going to be like last year's Jonathan Mingo. He's probably going to get higher draft capital than what any of us think he should be. And I think he'll probably intrigue someone's just because of his pure, you know, measurables, and he's probably going to sneak up someone's board. So I probably say this is around the area where Leggett's probably going to go off the board for someone. So we'll go Legette.
Double Xavier. So where, James, could Braylon Allen get drafted? Because that's who you would take if he were to get drafted by, let's say, the Giants in the third round.
Yep, absolutely. I'm taking Braylon Allen over Legette.
That's what I was going to ask a little bit, which is where would any of these running backs have to be drafted to, aside from Jonathan Brooks, as we think he's probably going to be a second rounder. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Chargers, Giants, I think Tennessee still in play for a big bruising type of back. I just don't believe in their lightning approach they got going on there. It just doesn't make sense to me. So
So if any of these guys go third round in the real NFL draft, you'd feel comfortable at the 2-6 taking
Yeah, that's probably about that point. I don't really, I'll be honest with you, I don't care for Leggett. I just, he's a late bloomer. He's like, you know, there's just a lot of red flags. He has Jonathan Mingo, in my opinion, just written all over him. And I didn't like Mingo last year, and I can't get it out of my head this year. So I wouldn't take him, but I think this is probably where he goes in most drafts.
He seems
So Leggett was 10 for Scott, 17 for me, and 18 for James. I agree. I think he's just mostly a contested catch guy. I didn't really like his film that much. I think he's not a do not draft. I guess I don't have those usually, but I'm guessing with me having him at wide receiver 17, I'm not going to have any of them.
All right. I'm at the 2-6. I'm going to take Blake Corum. I think this is where he's going to go. So many hype videos are coming out. The guy's just a gamer. He's a cool kid, on and on and on. He's got short arms, blah, blah, blah. He's the kind of player that in our fantasy league, somebody's going to draft 2-6. And I think if he goes to one of those spots we're talking about, he easily will go here. Eric, you went with Trey Benson.
Yep. I just take Trey Benson here. I think he's going to get the draft capital. He had good testing. I think this is the spot where James is right. I think you're going to start to see that first 5-6 running backs and maybe less after we see the draft capital. Maybe you'll see only 3 or 4 of them, but I think this is where they're going to start going.
Draft capital with wide receivers will push some of these guys down a little further, right? So if a Roman Wilson goes in the second round, he's going to go in this area.
See, I kind of agree, but if only 2 or 3 running backs total get second and third round capital, I think it'll actually push the running backs up because the supply of guys with day two capital will be lower.
Oh, I agree. If there's 3 running backs that get drafted, they're going to go here for sure.
Yeah. But if 6 of them do, I think it'll push them down. But if only 3 of them go or only 2 of them go in the second and third round total, I think they're going to get pushed up because the supply is going to be so low.
I mean, how many actual NFL teams can any of these guys go in and start? And it's probably, what, 4? 5? Yeah.
Well, when you say start, you mean you're talking like bell cow?
Well, if Braylon Allen goes to the Giants, they paid Singletary. He's going to play. So,
yeah. But I mean, when you say start, like, I mean, in the NFL, that
start.
Yeah. I mean,
most snaps is what you're saying. Highest snap.
Yeah. 60-40 split.
Okay. I think, all right. Yeah. So, I think a lot of these running backs are going to split like almost 50-50 this first year. But like all these guys that signed this offseason, they signed 3-year deals, but they're all structured as able to get out after the first year. Like even Jacob's deal. They can get out after the first year if they want to. So like all of these deals that got signed, these teams can get out after the first year. So if I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings draft somebody and Aaron Jones is kind of our guy for a little while. And eventually they go, oh, well, this backup's actually doing pretty good. Let's let him shoulder a bunch of the touches until we get to the playoffs or let's see what he's got. Cause we're 3-7 at this point.
Or they'll let Ty Chandler run into the line again. Like a blind kid with a cookie. Just all right, James, you're up.
Yeah, so I think it depending on how your draft is playing out, this is where maybe the panic sets in. Maybe someone looks at Braylon Allen here and goes, "Oh God, this is the last of that tier of running backs that I really want to be in on." Or I think this is the Ricky Pearsall Polk type territory. Depending on who's your flavor there. So I'm going to say that someone values a wide receiver a little more right here, and they're going to go I'm going to go Jalen Polk.
Hey, Ricky Pearsall is just flying. He cannot stop talking about him on a lot of the shows that I've Good player. Both of them, Jalen Polk. Also, Jalen Polk not getting the pub, right? Probably,
yeah, which makes me wonder if a lot more people like him than they care to admit. You know what I mean? I just, with those guys that go quiet, you're like, wait a minute, this guy's really good. Like, yeah, I don't get it. I immediately go.
Washington games, and he was every other play. It seemed like he was involved somehow.
If it wasn't going to Odunze, it seemed like Polk was the next read, right? So I think again, when it gets quiet on certain guys like this, it just makes me suspicious that teams like him more than they're leading on.
All right. It's up to me here. And it's pretty much, for me, it's between Jalen Wright and Ricky Pearsall. I really like Jalen Wright. And you know how much I love running backs. So this really hurts. But I'm going to take Jalen Wright. I really like this class in this sort of mid-range. We all like Jonathan Brooks. But I think they're all sort of the same guy in sort of a, what are the possibilities? And the capital mid-second for a running back, I don't think is that crazy.
So I'm curious. So you and I are Braylon Allen guys. So why Jalen Wright here over Braylon? Has he made a jump in your estimation at this point now?
If Braylon Allen catches one pass in his NFL career, I will. He just doesn't see. He's going to be a workhorse, if anything. And I do worry about him just being on the field.
Yeah. I just see Braylon Allen being just a touchdown. I just see like.
He reminds. I think he could
score 10 touchdowns his rookie year. I just think he might not have a ton of yards, but I think that guy's a double-digit touchdown guy for a handful of years.
He's a throwback, right? He would have been a top, like a first-round pick maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, no, yeah, not even a question. So I was just curious, Scott, because I know you like Braylon Allen, and I was just curious if Jalen Wright's kind of ascended to that, that spot for you over Braylon Allen.
I'm curious on where we think Jonathan Taylor and Braylon Allen, are they similar? Because Jonathan Taylor's bigger than most people think. And they both have good speed. Jonathan Taylor, pretty good out of the backfield catching. They didn't use Braylon Allen that way. Now that was a different offense, right? Nebraska didn't do that. I just worry about, can I get Gus Edwards if I'm an NFL team or Braylon Allen? Well, I'll go get Gus Edwards. I already know he can do it, and he's just a banger. That's what I'm concerned about. But you're probably right. If somebody just uses him for short yardage, and do NFL teams like having guys like that on the field where they know exactly what's going to happen, or at least 80% chance? That will definitely depend on landing spot. If he goes to the Chargers, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Get 50 carries. So I could go either or. Eric.
Yeah, Jalen Wright was who I had written down. That would have been my pick. Yeah. I think
talk for 3 minutes for no reason.
I don't know if he's better than Braylon Allen, but I think he's going to end up getting better draft capital. Right now, he seems to be getting a lot of pub. I'll go Roman Wilson with the 210. I think this is kind of the perfect spot for him, like late second, early to mid third. I feel like I still don't have a great read on him, and I don't think I will with the Michigan offense, to be honest. But I hated Nico Collins film when he came in, and I love Nico Collins now. So I feel like I just don't have a good read on the Michigan guys.
Doesn't it seem like all the Michigan guys, whether you love or hate them, they just feel like gamers, and that's a Harbaugh thing.
Yeah.
Guys that are going to end up being in the league because of just their mentality. And Roman Wilson feels that way. Blake Corum feels that way, on and on.
I think he could end, like everybody talks about Corum going to the Chargers. I think he could be like the Chargers wide receiver one, like just taken in the third round or second round of the NFL draft.
Why can't he just draft Michigan players? That'd be great.
Because apparently he's hiring all the Ravens dudes and the ex 49ers dudes. He's like going, everybody he already knows is who he's bringing in.
What would it take for them to trade Herbert?
Oh,
I thought about this, they just signed. Just a question, right?
Here's what's funny though. And I actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because the other doc who works in my office is a huge Vikings fan. And he actually brought this up at the end of last week. He's like, like we went and got this second round, another second first rounder, right? So what if we go to the Chargers and go, you know what? Here's two firsts and an additional first in the future, and we want Justin Herbert. Three firsts. And here's three first round picks, Harbaugh. Does he say no? And I was like,
Minnesota?
Yeah.
I love him more than anything. I'd trade our two firsts this year, 25 first, and I'd trade Justin Jefferson for Justin Herbert in a heartbeat.
And Justin Jefferson?
Get me on the phone. Where's the red phone?
I would do that in a heartbeat. He's going to be paid 35 mil plus a year as a wide receiver. I would do that for Herbert in a heartbeat. You still have Addison. You still have Hockenson.
Wow.
I would do that.
So, man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, that would. I mean, if I'm the Chargers, I'm probably taking that deal. Like,
I can take. I get two firsts this year, first yeah. next year, and the number one wide receiver in football. But I do have to pay him. So you have to agree to that. I think I'd take that though. But the problem is, what we're going to get is this truncated, watered down Patrick Mahomes in Charger land, right? He's just not going to be flinging it as much. And I wonder if they're going to look at that and go, is that really worth 55 million? They've had to have had discussions on this.
He's going to run more. I bet you he's going to have a better fantasy output from running this year than he's ever had.
And so I liked Herbert. I've watched a lot of Chargers games because they were usually on like late, right? Sunday night or later on Sunday afternoon. He is amazing, but he did not win them a lot of games.
No.
Just NFL, just looking at the NFL, right? I mean, whatever you want to say about him, he made tons of mistakes. He would just not come through in the clutch. If I could get that kind of return. James, you're up.
Yeah, so I think this is kind of the, I mean, Roman Wilson was taken right in front. So I, you know, again, kind of looked. Oh, I'm taking Ricky Purcell's the pick here. And here's my biggest reason why, because like I said, I've just started uncovering a lot of this data to where, I mean, 62% success versus man for Roman, 75% for Purcell. Like, to me, that's too big of a difference. I like Ricky's ability to get open against man coverage more than Roman's. And the numbers kind of prove that. I know Eric and I have talked about this. Like, Roman's Senior Bowl, like, didn't match the film. Like, you go back and you watch the film and you go, like, where's the pop? Like, if this guy's this good of an athlete, like, why wasn't he utilized more? You know, why wasn't he, you know, singled out in a game plan to, like, abuse these college, you know, defensive backs? So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe Roman's a lot better and he just was a misused guy, but I think you could say the thing about Ricky Purcell this last year in Florida, and maybe even the year before that, he really wasn't utilized well, but his statistics are better than Roman's versus press and also versus man. So I'm going to go Ricky here.
6 foot, 192. Didn't play at 6 foot. It didn't seem like he didn't look like he's as tall as Malik Nabers.
No, I would agree. But he, you know, the guy catches pretty much anything that's thrown in his vicinity. Like, not a, I would say, an amazing separator. But if the ball is near him, he does a pretty good job of coming down with the ball.
Well, 12 touchdowns. Told you, he's a gamer. These guys. All right, this will be an easy one for me. At the 212, I will gladly take Marshawn Lloyd. Worried about his had some problems with injuries. But he really kind of jumps off the page when you watch any of those USC games. A little chaotic, but I think at the 212. So that gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running backs in the second round. I think that's probably accurate for rookie picks.
Seems about right.
Yeah.
I think you maybe get 6.
But yeah. I think
it also could be lower.
So. The Braylon Allen thing or maybe a Bucky Irving could sneak in there. The Bucky Irving apologist tour is on all over the place. Every damn X update on running back sleepers has Bucky Irving in there. And I go, okay, whatever. Next, Eric.
This is where I would take Oh, I guess this, I feel like it kind of gets gross like a little bit past here. I know we were like just pumping up the depth of this class, but this is where I would definitely be looking at who had the draft capital when I'm looking in my rookie picks. But I'll take Braylon Allen here. This is where I would take. So we'll take our sixth running back at pick 25, and I don't think we're going to see another running back for a little while. But I think that was our run right there.
Let me look. I see you're no running back, and I will raise you. Okay, you're up, James.
I am running to the podium to get
Running?
my, I'm
I know who
running
you're taking.
to get my man Malik Washington.
Yeah.
I cannot
I
wait
knew you were.
to see this guy. Love me some Malik. This is where I think realistically he probably could go. Like, I have him ranked, I think, in my top 10. I think I've met like nine, maybe eight, even. I have him top 10 in my draft board, but
He is 8 for you, 12 for me, and 18 for Eric.
Oh, Eric. Oh,
Oh,
buddy. We
boy.
gotta let's sit down and have a beer and watch a little Malik Washington tape together. It's a beautiful thing. 5'8", like 194, thick guy, runs like he's possessed, hard to bring down, super productive guy. Runs out of the slot, obviously. He's gonna be a slot guy. So I know you guys talk about volume guys and your affinity for getting guys who are gonna get the ball a lot. This guy's just got production written all over him in the ACC. 8 catches, 10 catches, 7 catches, 7 catches, 9, 100 yards, games all over the place. I just love the guy. I think he's a gamer. I think he's that dude. And I'm stoked to get Malik Washington at this point in the draft.
How high of NFL draft capital do you think Malik Washington's getting?
I think he
Four.
could be
Four.
a no way. No, I think he's going to go higher. I think he's going to go in the third.
I don't think he has a shot of going in the third. That's why I'll have him ranked lower. And who
Put it on the board.
he reminds me of Kelvin Austin coming in, who is
Shut your mouth.
his wide
Don't.
receiver. He's going to get stuck. He's going to get stuck slotted as a special teamer with this new kickoff for someone.
James is great. You made him leave.
Passed out.
He's gone. Yes. All right.
Probably passed out drunk from these wide receiver ranks he has for the rest of this
Start getting
little stretch here.
when you do drafts this slow, you start getting a little dizzy. So then you start messing. I'll tell you this, James, couple things. Dell went third round, Tank Dell. Late third, early fourth, I could see maybe, but you will not get him in any of the leagues you're in with me.
That's
Not
not
gonna
fair, Scott. I found him first. That's not fair.
not letting you have him.
I found him first. I
He
called
does.
I called.
He kind of reminds me of Tyreek Hill, the way he runs with the ball.
My
He
dude,
does run.
he's so strong. Like, the guy just.
Shaking my head.
And here we had to say
Oh,
so we had to
God.
spice it up a little bit here, you know?
He's like a mixture of Tyreek Hill and Steve Smith Sr. He's like a slot god. Like, this guy, I just can't wait to rub this one in Eric's face for the next 5 years.
Like if God
Okay,
had a
Mr.
second
Xavier
son.
Leggett. You have Xavier Leggett ranked 18th and you took him in this draft. You
Oh,
smoking something.
no. I said this is where he's gonna go, not where James is taking him, but this is where he's gonna go in your draft.
Who took him, Scott? Who took him?
I'm looking at it right here. It does say he took
God,
him.
you guys.
You could have taken him at the Pearsall pick. Took made a stand, you know?
Well, I almost actually I almost did, but I don't want to sound like I'm too much of a fanboy, but
Oh, you didn't sound like one at all.
well, I thought I came off pretty calm.
James's 8-9 wide receivers are my 18-19 wide receivers.
Well, this is the area where, like we said, you can kind of go wherever. I'd be tempted to take Jatavion Sanders a little bit if I needed a tight end. I do think athletically he's got some possible outcomes on some teams where he could easily be a top 10, top 12. I'm going to go with Tez Walker though. And I think that he is incredibly raw. But once again, if he could go to a team where he's the wide receiver four and they just mix him in, he goes to a team with some veterans and he can just not, you know, he can chill out. I think he's going to be an awesome player at this point of the draft. Not a lot of buzz with Dez Walker, though. A little surprised. Good hands, right?
Yeah, the Senior Bowl killed him.
Well, that's the problem. They heard him. His hands at the Senior Bowl were like stones, right? And I don't know. Like,
but he did okay.
I like this film way better than his workout. So
he's 200 pounds. He looks like a wide receiver when you watch him play, you know.
Yeah. He's twitchy guy. I know I always compare him to Jameson Williams. I think this is, you know, I think it's a really good spot for to take a flyer on Devontae. So I think it's a great pick.
Well, thank you, James. Somebody pull that. Put it on my tombstone. All right, Eric, we're going to go a little faster now because we still have to go through 412. So,
Jalen McMillan here, another Washington wide receiver. Think he's really nice. Thought he should have stuck in school for one more year if he was going to get the lead role there. But I get why he came out. He had a great year.
Who's the quarterback that transferred up there? Do we remember? If you can look it up.
Texas A&M, right?
I think, yeah, was it Cam Ward? No.
Oh.
He went to Miami.
No, it's a tall white kid.
Big dude. God, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, Dylan Gabriel went there from Oklahoma as well, but the Texas A&M guy was set to go there.
Dylan Gabriel was the one I was thinking of. Yeah, that would have been a nice little transition out of Penix to Gabriel. Would have done okay, especially with two other guys leaving. All right, so now it's my turn. Is it my turn? It is. No, it's
no. James. It's fine. You just took Walker. I'm going to take Malachi Corley, wide receiver, Western Kentucky. I mean, everyone's easy comp to him is Debo Samuel. So I will tell you, I'm not anywhere near Debo Samuel on this guy. Everything is behind the line of scrimmage. Everything's
Screens,
bubble screen. I mean, the guy's his. I think his average depth of target might have been negative. Like, I mean, it's pretty rough to watch. So, I mean, you're hoping again this guy catches a couple bubble screens and maybe pop something. But I think this is where he will go in the majority of drafts. Will be somewhere in the third round.
Yeah, that's fair. 3-6. I'm gonna go Bo Nix.
Yep.
I think at this point,
I almost took Bo at 3-5. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one. I think even if he gets fourth round, even if he ends up fifth round, something like that, I think he just feels like a player that's going to play. Maybe as a backup, but you could just see him getting some games in. And is he going to be kind of a check down guy? Maybe, but those guys rack up points in fantasy. So I'll take it. All right, next.
This is where I will take Javon Baker, UCF.
Nice.
He's my top small school guy this year. I think Corley is going to be most people's top small school guy. I like Javon Baker like a lot more. I have Corley at 25, Baker at 15 for wide receivers. Good route runner, catches the ball well, can kind of do everything. Just did it at a small school level instead of a large school level.
Nice hands.
Yep.
Okay, James.
Yeah, I think this is probably where Jatavion Sanders is going to probably fall somewhere around this category. It's been well documented. We are not Jatavion Sanders guys, but I think this is probably about where you're going to see him come off the board.
Maybe even earlier, but this is as early as we'll take him.
Yep.
Jatavion Sanders off the board. I'm gonna keep on going with the QBs and take Rattler. Another one of those guys just flying up the boards. I've seen a couple of these dumb mocks. Spencer Rattler going in the second and third rounds. which who knows, you know, some team, maybe they pass on, maybe somebody like the Broncos. I think the Broncos, if they just go, I'm going to just wait, I'll grab this kid. And what do they have, a third round pick? I don't think they have a second. I forget. They can get Rattler in the third. I'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be a great spot for him.
Him or Bo Nix in the third, if the Broncos or a QB needy team could take a shot on that instead of having to spend the capital and move up to grab a JJ McCarthy when we all don't have no idea about these guys, that'd be a great, great idea. All right, Eric.
This is where I'd take Luke McCaffrey. I really like his film. Brother to Christian McCaffrey. Played at Rice, so he did play against lower competition as well. I just think he's going to stick on an NFL roster at a minimum, maybe be a team's wide receiver 3, 4, or 5. And maybe that amounts to me being able to flex him once in a while.
Really helped his stock the last couple months.
So I'll tell you what, I saw that kid play in high school. We went to the same school as my daughter did. He was playing quarterback. And I can't believe the transition he's made to the receiver. Like, I didn't see him being a college-worthy receiver, let alone an NFL prospect. So, I mean, obviously the kid's work ethic. I mean, the McCaffreys are well-known for their work ethic and second to none. So he's obviously inherited that gene. Just the fact they were even talking about him being a viable receiver option is kudos to him, because he was a decent athlete in high school. From the quarterback position, but there's no way you would have told me or convinced me he was an NFL level wide receiver, that he was that twitchy of a guy. So kudos to him.
Probably going to be a slot, right?
Say again.
Probably going to be a slot, right? I mean,
he's a lot like his dad. Honestly, I know it sounds weird and you're too young to probably remember Ed McCaffrey playing, but he's a big guy who's tall, lean build, catches everything. You know, I think he's going to be an active blocker for you in that big slot role, which I think he will play in the NFL. But yeah, I think he'll be a tall, lean slot type guy.
Like, when I watched him, I kind of thought budget Adam Thielen. Like, that's what you're hoping he kind of pops off as, is like this hardworking guy. He's not super special athletically at all, but he's smooth enough and he just finds a way to get open.
Well, you know, he's going to be smart. Like, he's going to have an IQ level that's going to be probably off the charts, considering his father and brother. So he's going to get everything he possibly can out of whatever athletic ability he has. So, but obviously, like I said, his work ethic is pretty impressive. So, you know, wouldn't surprise me if you end up finding this kid on a roster and you end up going, well, son of a gun, he's done it.
6'2", ran a 4.47. Let's get him on the Broncos.
Wouldn't it be fun to see McCaffrey wearing 87 again on the Broncos? Yeah. And, you know, like, just that'd be amazing. I would love it.
I mean, what's his capital? Fifth round, probably? No.
Probably, fifth, sixth round. I would love to go see him play with his brother, honestly. That's what I want to see.
That'd be fun.
Mom and dad get to go.
I was thinking sixth round for him. I just don't, but the fact he's even being drafted is just blows my mind, which is pretty cool. And 4.4, you said 4.47?
4.47.
Oh, man, those McCaffrey kids, I don't know. Like, that's pretty dang good, man. That's not bad.
He ran that shuttle drill or whatever at the combine, where they catch each ball each way.
The gauntlet.
He ran that really, really well. So I could see, with the last name and a good combine, I could see him just getting bumped up around from wherever he was going to go just because of that.
You know who ran the gauntlet really well?
Oh, stop with Keon Coleman.
Anyways, you're up, James. You know, real world stuff, not running in a straight line out of a 3-point stance, whatever.
Real world stuff, running in a straight line, looking from left to right like you're crossing traffic. Yeah,
have you seen some of the quarterbacks in this league? That's what it probably feels like. All right, you're up.
I mean, this is probably Brendan Rice territory. You're gonna start throwing some darts at guys, and I figure Brendan Rice somewhere around here.
James, you're missing your number 9 guy. You didn't even take him yet.
Oh, I know he's still there, but
Yuck, you're gonna, he's next up on my list for wide receivers. Don't make me take that guy.
Oh, I'm gonna take that guy.
I'm gonna have to move him down just because of it.
Oh, he's gonna be so much better than you think.
All right. I'm gonna take Tyrone Tracy, running back. I've already talked ad nauseum about him, so I'm not gonna do it anymore.
You're gonna give me shit about my guy, and he's gonna take a guy that doesn't even play the position over him.
I think the funny thing is, I think Tyrone Tracy and Malachi Corley are the same guys, just playing different technical positions. I think Tyrone Tracy is the same dude, but he should be playing wide receiver.
I'd like to see Malachi Corley get a couple of attempts behind the line. Mm-hmm. I just think Tyrone Tracy is a fun player. I think now, look, is he Lynn Bowden 2.0? Probably. And he has jumped around on so many teams. And every time we hear that he got, you know, signed by a team, you'll see him picked up in our leagues. And it's because we love having somebody who's a wide receiver play running back.
Right? Scott, you are such a sucker for these guys. I mean, the Malik Cunninghams,
the league.
You are such a sucker for like these position change dudes. It makes me laugh. But all right, cool.
Tracy.
Do it, Eric.
Nope. I literally just adjusted my wide receiver ranking so I don't feel like I have to take the dude.
Oh, it is. Yeah, he's way down now.
And now I just went into I'm gonna take the guy that I literally didn't know about him until this morning. And I went to go check on everybody's rankings and I said, who's this dude?
You didn't know about Bub Means?
And I'm gonna take Bub Means from
he's fun.
Pitt. And when I watched him, I literally watched a 10-minute highlight clip. I didn't have time. I watched him at like 8:30 tonight. So I didn't have time to do a full dig on him. But when I watched him, he reminded me of generic Rashi Rice.
He plays with an edge.
Yeah, plays with an edge. He goes up and gets the ball, but he's like 6 foot flat or 6 foot and a half. Like, he's not huge. He kind of finds the spot in zone. He's not like a super crisp route runner. He just kind of gets the ball and he catches everything in traffic.
He's a fun player. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago. I forget on what show, but he didn't get a lot of publicity because he's at Pitt. Mm-hmm. But I think if he was at a bigger school, he would have been getting some juice.
When he's catching the ball from
what are you laughing at, James?
And he's terrible.
Say it.
He's going to have to take his guy.
No, I'm laughing because I'm going to stick you with him because I'm going Joe Milton right here.
Wow. Oh, in the fourth, huh?
That's what you're going to take Joe Milton so that I have to take that guy.
I'll take him.
Joe Milton.
I'll take
him. Guy's got a howitzer for an arm, man.
Fourth round. You, James, you love these guys that are just big arm. They're never going to put you.
I do. Yeah, this guy can't hit the broadside. This guy can't hit the broadside of a barn. Everyone knows it, but he can throw the ball. He's like Uncle Rico, like throw it over the mountain.
Just make the barn bigger. That's all. Why hasn't anybody figured it out?
Why is this barn so stinking small? Who put a shed out here? Get me a barn.
You get Brian Thomas, Johnny Wilson. You just get, you know, every tall guy. Klingon out of UConn. You draft him. Just. What's wrong with it? Just change the structure of the formula. All right. I'm going to start taking guys I just like. I think this is a fun time to do that. And I love my Will Shipley. So I'm going to take Will Shipley.
Said you'd take the guy, Scott.
Oh, I'll take him next then. I'm the guy that talked about him, whatever, a month ago, and everybody poo-pooed him. And
oh, I got to adjust rankings again.
Look, where is he? He's number 9 for James.
I know. I don't know what your guys' problem is.
Well, I'm the only one that talked about him.
I'll take him just so I can talk crap about him. I'll take my 20th wide receiver, Jermaine Burton. I think he's going to come in and probably be like a DJ Chark at best. I think he's deep threat. And maybe some slants, but I think hopefully he really likes blocking, or he's really into doing all the extra stuff, or he likes running deep just to run deep. But
I love, that's Eric's favorite slam of a receiver. I hope he likes to block because if, the motherfucker can't catch.
Like if I was a if I was a quarterback and I was in the huddle and Jermaine Burton like missed the play call and he asked me what he was running, I'd just be like, go deep, I'll fake it to you.
You would tell him it was a running play.
Yeah.
You got
to
block.
I'll fake it to you. That's what they say to Burton on every play. He's just a deep threat. I mean, I'm not a deep threat guy. I like volume, and I just don't see him ever doing that.
In Jermaine Burton's defense, he's kind of a knucklehead.
Oh my gosh. He's a total knucklehead. Such a goofball.
He'll catch a pass for a first down in the middle of the game, and he'll start celebrating and acting like it's the biggest deal ever.
So when are we going to start like holding that against people? Every freaking wide receiver in the NFL does that
right
like,
now.
They're all morons. Like, but all right, I like it though. That's funny.
I hope he blocks.
I hope he likes to block. That's his favorite slam of receivers, and it just makes me laugh every time.
He punches girls while they're running on the field and all kinds of stuff. This guy's a full house, man. I do wonder where he's going to get drafted. He tested well at the combine. You know, he played at Alabama. He just, you know who he reminds me of? Antoine Walker for the Celtics. And you just go, who wants to play with this guy? He just doesn't seem, he's maybe good enough. Antoine Walker had a great career, but he just seemed to piss off his teammates.
Sounds a lot like James's number four wide receiver.
Oh. Yes, he did.
I can't wait. I can't.
Should we do, or could we get enough people to get and do a whole dynasty? Like, we should find a way, any of our leagues, if we get enough people to come on and do a show and actually do the whole real draft on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be fun.
I think it'd be fun.
Talk crap the whole time.
Yep. Maybe not Dynasty because I have every pick, but maybe
Dynasty would be just Scott on a show.
I might just do the show myself, but that'd be fun to actually do a real rookie draft on the show. If enough people would agree to do it all at the same time, Fantasy Profits or, you know, Forever Unclean, one of those. James, you're up.
Isaac Garrido, running back. Size, speed, metric on this guy's off the charts. So I'll take a flyer on a guy like that in the fourth round.
We did say that probably nobody has tested so well and gotten so little.
Which means they like him.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to stick to my theory of the guys that are being quiet about guys, they like him, I'm going to stick with that theory.
This is middle school, where if you like a girl, you punch her?
That's yeah, right. Yeah, just smack her.
Okay. All right, it's my turn. Well, you took Joe Milton already, so I can't take him. And I already took him. I know who I'm going to take. If Malik Washington was sort of our, you know, subliminal crush, my other one is Jamari Thrash. Really like him. And kind of going under the radar. So if I could get Jamari Thrash, I think he's going to end up being more of a third round guy. But if I get him at the 4-6, I think he's got some juice.
I think so too, but I liked his film better than Tutu's at Louisville as well, when Tutu Atwell was there, and Tutu somehow got picked in the second by the Rams. So it really only takes one team, right?
Mm-hmm. I did want to say a little bit about this idea that, and I'm still not done looking, but production, right? These guys that have had just good years, that seems to translate some with these later picks, right? The guys that are just the best wide receiver on crappy teams and they have 90 catches, 80 catches. I think we're missing a little bit on that. So I want to do more research on it, but sorry, go ahead.
I think it'd be interesting to look at that on Power 5 versus non-Power 5 as well, because if you're productive on a Power 5, I think that even if you're on a bad team, I think that means a lot more than if you're productive on Colorado State and you're on a crappy team.
Totally agree. Some of these guys, though, I don't have any, but you know, they'll have 117 catches. You go, I better go look at this guy. He apparently was doing something right.
Yeah. And I think, so I'll make my pick here, but what I would like to state is that really this third and fourth round guys, you really need to be looking for guys who are drafted in the second or third round of the NFL draft who maybe you haven't even really watched film on them yet, but that day two draft capital matters a lot, especially at running back and wide receiver. So if you get the random Tank Dell taken in the third round of the NFL draft and you haven't even watched film on him, if you have a third or a fourth, you better be drafting him over somebody you liked that happened to go in the sixth. Like, draft capital matters a ton, especially that second and third round versus going in day three.
Like Zach Evans.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Eric, you're up.
I'll take Johnny Wilson here, whether he was a wide receiver or a tight end for that team. This is where I would think he'd slot in as a wide receiver, and this is also where I have him slotted in as tight end.
I like Johnny Wilson.
Me too.
I like him. I don't care what people say. He is tall and fast enough that I think he'll find a spot, even if he's not a, you know, what is he going to end up? The high upside wide receiver 3-4 type of guy, you know, that could just get you 4 for 50 and a touchdown, maybe. I like him. All right. James, you have two picks left to.
I'm going to go Jacob Cowan here, the wide receiver out of Arizona. Smaller guy, like 5'11, 175 ish, something like that. So, twitchy guy. You know, you're hoping to strike Tank Dell in a bottle here. I mean, if you can get that, you find it great. But I think it's a decent dart throw on a guy like him. So I like his twitchiness.
Love his twitchiness.
Yep.
All right, it's my turn. We have just a couple of picks left. And let me go through really quick wide receivers, running backs. You know, at this point, taking a Bucky Irving is worth it. The fourth round, even if he doesn't get a lot of carries, I think he'll still be utilized in the passing game somehow, somewhere, some, you know, like we even talked about him on the Chiefs, right? Playing the Jerick McKinnon role. I think it could really work out. All right. Our last picks, boys, let's make them fun and goofy.
Yep, I liked that pick, especially because I think like at this point, at maybe wide receiver 24-ish, it flips back to taking shots on running backs because at least if two or three guys go down ahead of them, they'll be worth something. I think most of the wide receivers past year are going to be borderline UDFA or sixth or seventh round guys in the NFL draft. This is where I will take Aaron Rodgers because James really likes him and he's been telling me that he's probably the best. No, I'm just kidding. So here I'll take.
Wait a minute.
I'll take Imani Bailey here. I think he is, you know, the discount Bucky Irving. And so hopefully I hit the same thing, just receptions and does a little bit in the third down game.
I do like him. What did we say? He was kind of like Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah, that's what I kind of think. I'm hoping. That's what I think you're hoping for. Yeah. He's not as fast as far as 40 time, but I think he looks fast on the field.
Hey, James, looking intently.
Yeah, so I'm hoping this guy turns out to be half the player his dad was, but I'll go Frank Gore Jr. here and just hope this guy can be half the player his dad was. So he's got the name, you know, we'll give him it's a good flyer. I'll take a shot at him.
If he has half the length of a career as his dad did, he'll have the standard running back career. Actually probably more.
Right. Yeah. If he's half of what his dad was.
So if he was half of what his dad was, he'd run for 8,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Yeah. That's a hell of a fourth round pick there, boys.
I think that works, right? All right, the very last and final Fantasy Profits draft at the 412 spot. I think this is one of those weird guys that I will take. The guy I wanted to take was Xavier Weaver out of Colorado. I just really like the guy. I think he's, you know, probably undrafted, but that's where you have to go back and look at some of these guys and go, who's going to get drafted and use that capital that way. I think Kamani Vidal out of Troy. It's running back. Mm-hmm. Tested really well, measured bigger, mm-hmm. and he fits right into that really fast running back that's going to get drafted later who could just pop for you.
I don't know much. I'm going to have to research him some more because I've heard you guys mention his name a couple times. I just don't know enough about the kid.
Fun player. Huge year last year, too.
Yeah. I watched some Troy just like in some passing last year. And then once you mentioned him on the last show, I went and watched him. And I like him. I haven't slotted him in here, but I think he'd probably come right after Garendo for me, probably around RB10-ish.
Yeah, he's in that 10 to 14. Somebody's yeah. going to take Estime, right? Just because who knows? He's, you know, a goal.
I was getting ready to say, just so, I mean, everyone knows the object Estime did not make our first four rounds.
Yeah.
Neither did Ray Davis. Davis didn't either.
Jaden Sherdman, Dylan Johnson, Isaiah Davis. Thought Isaiah Davis looked good at the combine, so he could be one of those guys. Jace McClellan in Alabama, Dylan Lauby.
Mm-hmm.
James,
there. What about Eric's Dylan Johnson? I think that's his boy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love him.
Huge fan. I know.
It's interesting here, like the late fourth, like the third and fourth. Some of these players are going to drop 3, 4, 5 spots more. Just we only drafted 2 tight ends and 3 if you count Johnny Wilson as a tight end. It seems like in our leagues, when I go and look back, even in these not tight end premium, not great tight end draft classes, 2022, 2021, 2020 even, we see like the third round for some reason, it's like 3 or 4 tight ends get taken every time. And the fourth round is the same way. So I think some of these running backs and wide receivers will drop to us a little bit more in the third and fourth round than they did for just the three of us.
Well, Ben Sinnott should have gotten drafted.
Right.
And maybe Cade Stover, Dallin Holker, Theo Johnson, Will.
Yeah. Jaheim Bell for anybody who plays Devy. Like, they'll probably be like, oh, Bell's, you know, been a name forever. Yeah, I want Jaheim Bell. Like, a lot of these guys are going to go. Eric All, another Iowa tight end. Somebody's going to take him just because he's an Iowa tight end.
So that's 4 guys. And then draft prospect or quarterbacks, Pratt, Jordan, Travis, Devin Leary, maybe Austin Reed.
And I was going to say, I think Pratt probably goes in the first 4 rounds as well.
Yeah, Pratt probably does. I think Travis could as well.
I think, though, I'm looking at wide receivers, and we picked 25 of them. I'm going to do my research on the other 25 I have listed because nobody has heard of a lot of these guys that I have listed. And so really there's 25 wide receivers that are draftable, which we said this was a deep class. The problem when we say deep, it means that from like 15 on, they're all kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you guys after doing this, like what are your overall feelings on this draft class after doing this little mock we just did? Scott, you basically own the entire draft and dynasty. So what is I don't know how many of these you've done, I'm sure you've done mock drafts, you know, on your own, but like now that you've had like some other guys do some draft picks, how do you feel about this draft class in totality? Do you feel like, ooh, it's a little grosser than I thought it was starting at this point? Are you pretty happy maybe with where some of the depth is going to be? Like, What's your thought?
We thought this draft class was deep, but I think the problem is it drops off.
Yeah.
At around 2-7. And then anywhere from Roman Wilson to Malachi Corley, right? So it's deep, but it's deep in a way that your late second is probably worth your late third. And I certainly don't know if I can fill out a fifth round.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting to me. I think depending on like how you rank our wide receivers and how you like the quarterbacks, I think it drops at about 1-5, 1-6. I think in most drafts, you're going to see McCarthy and Bowers go again after there. So it's going to drop again at 1-8. But like where I see the big drops were 2-4. So after about Xavier Worthy, we get like Leggett and we get the running back run. So I see a big drop after like 2-4. And then I see another like pretty big drop after about 3-4-ish. Somewhere in that early to mid third round, I think we're going to have another drop to me.
Well, I'm looking right now at a 2023, and we'll wrap the show up here. And maybe next week we can, you know, because we've gone 2 hours, so maybe we'll talk about the draft a little bit more. Looking at last year's 2023 draft, you had Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, Anthony Richardson, and then it was Jordan Addison, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Zay Flowers. I would much rather have the 1-6 instead of Zay Flowers, like that kind of a thing. So it's definitely top-er heavy. Bryce Young, Quentin Johnson, CJ Stroud at 9, and then it's Kendra Miller, Jonathan Mingo. I don't think we liked Kendra Miller that much last year, but that's all that there was. So I do think this is very much more, how should we say it, deeper at the front and deeper in the middle, if that's even a thing.
Yeah.
And then, I kind of feel like you, I think maybe Eric could kind of hit it on the head, like from 2-5 to 3-3-ish. I kind of feel like you could shake all those guys up and throw them on a table and be like, I could see that kind of going either way. You know what I mean? Like
Javon Baker at 3-7 or Roman Wilson at 2-10. We could, you know, right? Let me drop.
See there, I see the difference, but like the Tez Walker to Xavier Leggett, right. I'm like, yeah. I'd rather have Tez, honestly. And when I was that's what I noticed too, when we were looking at, so for our listeners, Scott put in all our rankings at wide receiver, and then he put in like Fantasy Pros. What else did you put in, Scott? ESPN?
ESPN and PFF.
ESPN and PFF. And it really was, you could shake up these 5 or 6 wide receivers here, and they spit out in any random order, and it could be any one of the 6 of us, honestly. And then you went to another spot and it was 8 wide receivers. You could shake all those ones up, spit it out in any order, and it'd be any one of the 6 of us. So it was
Fantasy Pros had Troy Franklin 5th, Ladd McConkey 7, Adonai Mitchell 8, right? And then you go over and Adonai Mitchell is 5, and those are big differences from 5 to 8 when you're talking about in a draft. So, all right, boys, we did it in 2 hours. We figured out the big question with men. How do we get through things faster? We did it. For everybody out there, we have 2 weeks to go. We decided we're not going to do live shows for the draft. We're just going to yap on here. Who knows? James is going to get so punch drunk after 3 hours. I don't know who's going to be on the show for the 4 hours. I will be. Maybe guys jump on, jump off, you know, it'd be a lot of fun. Next week, we're just going to keep on grinding all this. You guys got any last minute words before we head out?
Oh, man, just keep grinding those guys. You know, keep grinding like.
Grind. Last words.
Keep grinding, guys.
I mean, that's when you're massaging those backs, right? You got to grind those guys.
No. Go make your moves now if you think that the draft could shake it up. I mean, if you have a 107 and you don't really like JJ McCarthy or Brock Bowers, go trade it now, because if those guys don't get capital, then that pick's worthless.
Well, and we really don't know, as we showed, somebody could take Jaden Daniels at 2. They could take him at 6. They could take Roma Dunze at 6. They could take, you know, it's really going to be a crapshoot. But it's going to be the most fun rookie draft, I think, that we've had in the last 5-10 years. So, thank you, the NFL. You know, thank God they're finally doing something for us. All we do is slave over this. Keep on coming back every week with their piss poor product. This year's going to be fun. By the way, UFL, not bad. Some fun games. So if you haven't watched any of the UFL, Dad says he really enjoys it. I also introduced my dad to Slap Fighting Championship. So But if you haven't watched that, boys and girls, you want to see the degradation of the human race and short YouTube clips, go watch those poor bastards slapping the shit out of each other. Slap Fighting Championships on YouTube. Coming to a theater near you. All right, thanks, everybody. Have a good week. Bye. I wish I was like you.